Welcome to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Diving stop, Seager. Toss on a hop to first. In time to get seven.
Three-run homer, Robinson Cano off the lefty specialist, Fernando Abad. And the Mariners lead it 5-4.
Goodbye, baseball. Straight away, center field. Cano and Cruz go back to back.
And the king, when the Mariners needed him the most, two hits over seven. Scoreless innings.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
Hey, it's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Thanks for being here once again. M's win last night, 10-3. Big offensive showing. Man, they broke out the sticks last night. Four runs in the second, three runs in the third. And they wipe out the Texas Rangers 10-3. Things awfully tight when you look around. Mariners now 72-73. The Rangers 72-72. Other games of note last night: Baltimore losing 3-2 to the Blue Jays. Rays beat the Yankees 2-1. Twins all over the Padres 16-0. They have a couple more coming up with the Padres as well. Angels get blanked by the Astros 1-0. Verlander 8 scoreless in that one. So, looking at the standings, heading into today, same two, Yankees, Twins. Angels now fallen two games back of Minnesota. KC, Texas, three games back. Mariners, 3.5 back, so they can pass the Rangers tonight with a win. Tampa, 4. Baltimore, they've lost 6 in a row. They are 4.5 back now of Minnesota for the second wild card. So, tonight, another big night. I mean, I guess they all are the rest of the way, but two more against the Rangers. These are a huge couple of games, a chance to gain some ground on Texas. To do it, though, to get more than just even, they have to take the next two. Mike Leake will take the ball tonight. Overall 9-12, a 4-1-0, but he's been excellent for the Mariners in his first two outings in a Mariners uniform. And taking the ball for the Texas Rangers, the lefty Martin Perez will take the ball. Perez this year, 12-10 with a 4.81 ERA. Although, you look at his last few starts, and they've been pretty good for the Texas Rangers. Last time out, it was against the Yankees. Went 5 2/3, gave up just 2 earned runs. Start before that, it was the third against the Angels. Took the ball 6 innings, 3 earned runs. Went 7-2 before that, 7-0. The time before that. So really, you look at his season, he's pitching his best baseball of the season. So Perez against Leake in a huge game tonight in game 3 of the series. And Mariners could really use this series. You start looking around and there's just not a lot of games left in the season, not a lot of opportunities left in the season. And this is a huge opportunity in these next two ball games. Last night, though, all about the sticks. A couple of huge home runs early on. Ben Gamel, a huge blast.
The 1-1 to Gamel. Swing and a well-hit ball deep to right field. Chu going back looking up. Goodbye, baseball. Ben Gamel with a 3-run home run here in the top half of the second. And the Mariners lead it 4-0 over the Rangers. Number 9 on the year for Gamel.
Kyle Seager going yard as well.
Pitch home. Swing and it's clubbed high, deep. Chu has already given up. This is to right field, long gone. Second deck home run, Kyle Seager. Back-to-back nights with a big-time jack for the Mariners. Kyle Seager making them hurt here in Texas once again. He has blown this one wide open. It is 7-1 Mariners.
And Marco Gonzalez giving the Mariners 5 strong.
Here's the pitch to Gallo. Swing and he pops it up. Shallow right field. Walt out there already. Robbie Cano backpedaling. Coming in is Haniger, and it's going to be Robbie Cano way out there who makes the catch, and that will retire the side. 5 innings in the book tonight for Marco Gonzalez, and he leaves with a 5-run lead through 5.
I just try to keep the game, try to keep putting up zeros, and you know, those innings where we put up 4 and 3, just trying to go out and mimic the damage, trying to throw strikes and just attack the entire night.
Marco, you kept him in the yard tonight too. This is the part that gives up home runs, like the team that hits home runs. How important is that to keep him in the yard?
Yeah, it was huge. I think more than anything, just getting ahead. These guys are really aggressive, as we've seen, and so getting ahead early with off-speed pitches, and then fastballs late was kind of the game plan, and stick to it as best I could. And like I said, just try to keep them off the board. Our offense was doing work tonight, so really trying to get those guys back in the dugout.
You don't usually do a huge windup, but I noticed you stayed all stretch tonight like you did in the last outing. Is that something you're going to stay with?
Yeah, I think so. I think pitching out of the pen the other day really helped me to simplify things. And so that was just another decision. You know, I was just I want to keep throwing strikes and I want to get ahead. And I think going out of the stretch eliminates some extra movements for me. And right now that's huge, just being efficient.
Three earned runs in five innings, fanned six, claiming his first win as a Mariner. And just a big day offensively. Haniger, two more hits, goes 2 for 5. He is red hot.
Here comes the pitch. Swing and he clobbers this on a line by the foul pole in left field. It is banging off the wall. It leaves a dent right atop the fence as Haniger goes coasting, sliding into second base with the double. Ripped off the wall, the 14-foot wall in left field, a two-out, two-base hit for the Mariners' right fielder.
Robbie Cano, three more knocks. He goes 3 for 5 in the game.
Here comes a 2-1. Swing and it's lifted high out to right field. Chu is picking up some speed. He's on the warning track. He's by the 377 marker. He leaps, and it pops out of his glove, and it comes back out of the field. It brings home a run. Haniger scores from second base with two outs, and he might have just swatted a home run back out of the field. He may have saved home run number 300 for Robinson Cano, who is still sitting on 299, but picks up yet another double.
Nelson Cruz, a couple hits, 2 for 5. Alonso, 2 hits. Zunino, 2 hits. Gamble had 3 hits in the ball game. He's been hot, and this is exactly what the offense has needed. They need to carry the load here in the month of September, and they certainly did last night. 10 runs, 15 hits on the way to the victory. Here's Scott Service.
Offense, certainly, we woke up today. We really swung the bats well. Big home runs by, you know, Seager and Gamble. Cano had a nice night, and, you know, Haniger staying hot. So really nice offensive night. I thought Marco hung in there, you know, gave up 8 hits, but he scattered them. They had some traffic on him, but he made pitches. I thought, you know, 5 innings was good. That was kind of the goal coming in, if we could get 5 out of him. You know, I thought his changeup was pretty good tonight, and they were singles. So he kept them all in the ballpark, which is definitely a good thing for him. And our bullpen, I thought Pazos was outstanding tonight. Came right after him, and guys after him did a good job too. So good team win. Needed to get this road trip rolling in the right direction. These are big games. We talked about it today as a group, and our guys responded.
DeMarco, better the second, third time through the lineup today.
It was. You know, I think you got some balls, you know, the 0-2 pitch to Mazzara up, you know. He didn't locate maybe when he got ahead in the count as well a few times. But, again, I thought his changeup was really good tonight. And he made some adjustments as the game gone along. And, you know, lucky for us. And for him, he had a little cushion to work with, which was nice. It was nice getting those runs up on the board early.
And then that's the other thing that the cushion does, is it allows you to kind of give some guys in the bullpen just an inning, and not have to sort of burn arms.
Yeah, we were kind of headed that way tonight, whether it was a cushion or not. We knew, you know, Marco was hopefully going to give us 4 or 5 good innings and then kind of go to the bullpen. And, you know, we're able to stay away from some of the back-end guys, so they'll be fresh again tomorrow.
Scott, you got contributions from just about everybody in the lineup. What did you see from your overall at-bats?
I thought we were on Gonzalez. They're Gonzalez, you know, from the get-go. Guys were seeing the ball good. And, you know, the lefties, you know, gambled the big homer. Seager knocked the tar out of that ball, which is good to see. So that's what's going to take up and down our lineup. We've got to start having, you know, more consistent at-bats, and it's nice to see the guys come together tonight and get it done.
You know, you look at what Zunino was doing tonight, a couple hits. He got the walk, but then he hustled to make sure that he, you know, beat out the fielder's choice. What are you laughing at?
Mike always hustles.
Yeah.
and Zunino's really, really played well. I think, you know, the consistency of the at-bats, you know, he's still going to have a few strikeouts. He's going to have those rough games. But, you know, he's got a good head on his shoulders. I'm really impressed with the job he's done behind the plate. He's taken his game to another level and leading our pitching staff, which is, I think, taking 40 guys to get to know this year. So that, for me, is what's really stood out, and that's what's going to be huge here going down the stretch.
That play in the eighth inning with Hanneman, with Kyle Seager's ball that dropped in, what can he do there? Does he have to pick up the umpire?
He picked up the wrong umpire,
okay.
Yeah. He looked at the second base umpire. It's the third base umpire's call, and then Laz Diaz quickly made a safe call. But, you know, Jake's excited, didn't see it, looked at the other umpire. But, you know, young guy, he'll be fine.
Hey, for Marco, important to kind of build his confidence a little bit, kind of going forward here.
I think the last, you know, the relief outing he had was really good for 4 innings. Tonight, you know, gets his first win as a Mariner. nice confidence booster there. So we'll keep them going. You know, again, with the addition of Felix and Paxton in the rotation, we have a lot of guys. We're going to kind of, you know, pick and choose. I think it's really important to give Marco, give Andrew Moore, even Miranda now, a little bit of a breather. You know, so hopefully we can, you know, mix and match when we start those guys. And we may not see them for 7 or 8 days, but it gives them a little bit more time to recoup so they're fresh when they go out there.
Sometimes, you know, a skipper will divide, okay, first half of the season, second half of the season. Is that, what's the focus for you with this club, 17 games left?
We have 17 games. Well, we can only worry about tomorrow's game. Nice job tonight. That's how we need to get after it. You know, it's too late if you wait till there's 5 or 6 games left and say you got to win them all. So our guys are focused. Like I said, we had a good meeting today, and they responded really well.
So here's what we have today. Yankees will be playing Tampa Bay in New York. Met Stadium, 10:10 first pitch. Chris Archer will get the ball for Tampa Bay. Jaime Garcia will go for the Yankees there in that ball game. White Sox in KC to take on the Royals. That's at 11:15 a.m., so some early baseball with some games that matter. Baltimore and Toronto to take on the Blue Jays. This is a good matchup. Gausman against Stroman. Baltimore trying to turn things around. They've really struggled. Of course, you know about Mariners-Rangers tonight, Leake against Perez. And Padres will be in Minnesota, 5:10 first pitch. Santana will take the ball for the Minnesota Twins. Padres really struggling, 65-80. So Minnesota trying to take advantage of that schedule. They've already taken one from the San Diego Padres. Astros and Angels tonight. It's going to be Fires getting the ball for Houston. McCullers scratched. So that's a cause for concern for the Astros, certainly going into the postseason. They need him to be healthy. Skaggs will take the ball for the Angels. So that lays out the important games today as the Mariners try and gain some ground on everybody. And most importantly, try and get a win against the Texas Rangers tonight. Mitch Haniger has been absolutely on fire. Here he is sitting down with Shannon Dreyer.
Catching up with Mitch Haniger. And Mitch, obviously you're on a nice little run right now. I probably don't need to tell you about that. But we've seen this at different times of the season with you, and it just seems like when it clicks in for you, you put so much trust in it that it's going to come around that you're able to kind of ride that a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel good, really good at the plate right now. Just swing's always a work in progress, trying to get better every day, trying to learn new things. And right now I feel fully healthy, and I think that's a big thing, just being able to trust my body and feel normal. So I think it's been good.
When did you first feel that? Because I know you came back, and I know that the face thing was something I think you adjusted to pretty quick, but you said that the oblique, sometimes those swings were a little bit hesitant to take.
Yeah, the oblique in the games, it was never really an issue. I'd feel it lifting and swinging in the cage and stuff like that. Just kind of always lingering. There are still days where it kind of lingers, and I think a lot of guys say that when they've had an oblique injury, that until they gave it a full off season to kind of train and recover, that it never fully went away. But I've been feeling really good. I feel kind of back to normal now, where I'm able to get all out of my swing and do everything I want to accomplish. So that's been good, and it's been a lot better than it was, you know, 2 or 3 months ago.
Is this the same swing that you came into the season with? Is it a matter of getting back to that, or have there been tweaks to that?
Yeah, now it's more of the same swing. There always are tweaks. Pitchers are going to adjust to you, and you have to adjust to them, and it's always day-to-day, and I'm always looking at film and just going off of feel and talking with Edgar Ambrosius and figuring a plan out.
What is a regular day for you in your routine?
Usually getting a good warm-up in, sometimes that a full lift, sometimes just, you know, a normal warm-up, get some sweat going, and then go to the cage and work off the tee and just really try to hit the ball right back in the middle and hit the ball to the right center. And then I do flips with Prieto or Bro, whoever's in there, and kind of the same thing, trying to drive the ball as hard as I can right back up the middle or right to right center, and just make sure everything, you know, clicks. And I have tons of different checkpoints that I want to feel, and that's kind of the daily progression.
When does the video come into play?
Sometimes during games, sometimes after. Definitely before every day as far as the opposing pitcher. I watch the opposing pitcher every day. A lot of times at the beginning of the series, we'll just watch the bullpen. And then if I want to see a guy throughout the series, I'll watch more on him if he's a bullpen guy. But as far as my swing goes, during game, after game, next day, just kind of depends when I want to see it.
You're a studier, and one of the things that got me is I think we were in Minnesota, it was Chris Jimenez, and you said that you were asking people on the bench what he threw when he came into the game, and they're like, he's catcher, don't worry about it. But you study. What do you get in seeing guys a second, a third time, and whatnot?
Well, for me, it just gives me a better plan, and that's why I kind of hound guys in the dugout if they faced him and I haven't. I want to, you know, see what they're seeing, and then so I can have a plan for myself. And then it's always better when I face him because then I know exactly what you know, he looks like or how his pitches move. So if I haven't, then I ask around or I try to watch video on him and see if. But for me, it's always developing a plan. And so when I get in the box, I feel like I've done my homework. I've studied for the test and I'm ready.
Who's really good at giving you, like, if you're on the dugout or on the bench and you want something quick, who breaks it down pretty well and quick?
Honestly, a lot of guys.
Y'all speak the same language.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of guys are really good, especially Nelly's good, Robbie's good, Seager's good, Zunino. I've talked to all of them, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. And what about Edgar or Bro? What are the kind of questions that you ask them in-game?
I talk to them a lot on the opposing pitcher. They know more count percentages, what the guy likes to throw, and they have, you know, a chart on the whole bullpen and, you know, who are possible guys they might bring in to face me. So I talk to them on stuff like that and scouting reports and also just in-game swing adjustments. If there needs to be something, if I feel something, I'll go to them and ask. And one thing I kind of like, I just try to do a lot of work in the offseason and in the cage so where I can usually feel it myself when there needs to be a swing adjustment. But they've helped me a bunch this year at different times. And you know, it's a team effort, so, you know, whether I feel something off, I'll go to them and they'll give me their thoughts or they come up to me before I even, you know, ask them. So it's been good.
We've been having fun watching two of the last 3 days. You've had people thinking cycle a little bit. Have you hit for the cycle before anywhere?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's hard enough in baseball to get four hits in a day, so obviously cycle would be great. But, just going up there with the same plan every at bat, just trying to hit the ball hard. And it's if it was as easy to control where and how many bases you hit, guys, you know, would be hitting a lot higher than 300 every year. But yeah, it's hard enough to get hit, so just trying to keep it simple up there.
It's not on your mind, but it'll be fun.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Thank you, Mitch.
Yeah, thank you.
And the Texas Rangers, they feature a Federal Way native on their roster.
Oh, Tony, you've had quite the journey to get from Auburn, Washington, Thomas Jefferson High, all the way here to Arlington, Texas. First of all, you're in your second year with the Rangers, and you've continued to pitch so incredibly well. What has it meant to you to be a part of this organization and be such a staple in Jeff Banasher's bullpen the last two seasons?
I love being here in Arlington. They gave me an opportunity that obviously is something huge to me. It helped me fulfill a dream of mine. So I love the guys here. I love the weather here, especially now it's cooled off a little bit, you know, but it's just a great place to be. It's a good team. It's a good group of guys. And, you know, obviously we're getting led by, you know, AB and be able to be part of 3,000 and, you know, be on the field with a guy that's seen and done as much as he has. It's pretty special.
What was it like for you growing up in Auburn and I'd have to imagine cheering on the Mariners?
Oh, man, I mean, grew up, you know, watching the, you know, like the 95 Mariners are the ones that are most, you know, prevalent in my mind. Obviously that was something that just energized the city back when the Sonics were making the playoffs every year and 95 Mariners came rolling through. And, you know, that was a special time of year, especially for, you know, Seattle and baseball.
Have you talked to Edgar much?
I haven't. You know, I think he's one of the few guys that probably intimidates me a little bit, you know, so, you know, maybe one day I might over sneak over there and, you know, say, hey, but, you know, it's fun, you know, you get to see these guys firsthand, these guys that you grew up idolizing and, you know, you used to, you know, love watching Edgar hit doubles after doubles. So, you know, it's cool to see these guys firsthand and, you know, it's pretty special.
Fascinated to learn more about your path to get here to Arlington. You made it as high as AAA in the Arizona Diamondback system and then going over to Japan, not just for a year, but for six seasons. What was that decision process for you like?
Man, thinking back now, it happened in a blink of an eye. It went from, you know, text message to real quick, you know, it went from text message to being really serious really fast, really? You know, in retrospect, you know, looking back in hindsight now, it just happened so fast. And I just remember sitting there after it was all said and done, after I, you know, put my name to the, you know, put my ink to the paper, it just kind of set in saying, you know, what did I do? You know, where am I going? So, but I mean, the decision process, I was a young guy and, you know, took a leap of faith and, you know, here I sit.
How did your time in Japan make you a better pitcher?
Yeah, it just, you know, taught me different avenues of the game, you know, gave me different perspectives and just different looks on how to perform, I guess. You know, there's a lot of guys over there that played baseball a long time, you know, that we would never hear of over here, but there's a lot of knowledge over there. And I just, you know, I kept my mind open, and I tried new things. And again, here I sit, and it's all working out well, and I just couldn't be happier.
Is there an element or two of Japanese culture, whatever that might be, that you have carried with you here back to the States? It's now part of your almost day-to-day life?
I mean, nothing that stands out, as opposed to, you know, I spent a good chunk of time in Japan, and that changed me as a person, as a man, as a, you know, as a husband, and as a father. So it's, I immersed myself in a culture that I was completely unaware of, or not unaware, but, you know, I just lacked education on exactly what went down over there, and I learned really quick. But it was just a fun experience, and, you know, we look back on it fondly, and I take a lot, you know, we've got a lot of knickknacks, a lot of memories from Japan.
Did you start your family in Japan?
We did. Wow. So both, you know, both my daughters were born here in the United States, but, you know, the family was started in Japan, and I can't wait to one day take them back and, you know, just visit Japan and show them, you know, show them where our family began.
When you get back to Seattle with the Rangers, what's the one place that you make sure to always go to?
Man, I just like walking around the city of Seattle. I remember growing up, you know, spending much time in Federal Way and Auburn areas. We didn't get out to Seattle too much, but it's just a beautiful city, and the weather's so amazing. I love it up there during the summertime. It's just one of the my favorite places.
Tony, it's great to catch up with you a little bit. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, my pleasure.
One ball and no strikes on Blowers. The 1-0 pitch on the way now. Swung on and belted deep to left center. Fox to the track, to the wall. It is grand salami time for Mike Blowers. And just like that, the M's get the one that broke the back of the camel.
The road Mike Blowers has traveled to the Kingdom has been a familiar yet strange route to Mariner fans. From his hometown of Graham, Washington, to Tacoma Community College, and finally, the University of Washington. It took Blowers just 3 years in the minors to reach the big leagues with the Yankees. But once he hit the Bronx, Blowers' trip took a detour.
When I first came to New York, being a kid from Graham, Washington, living out in the sticks my whole life, and all of a sudden being thrust in the Big Apple was a bit much for me to handle. And it was real tough, but when I first got there, I thought things were going pretty well. Bucky Dent was the manager, and he was running me out there pretty much every day, which is what a young player needs to do. And it seemed like once Bucky was fired and Stump came in, he had different ideas, and I stopped playing, and I had to go into a pinch hit role and do that. And have never done that in the minor leagues, and used to playing every day. I just didn't do a very good job of it at all because I didn't know how to.
The 91 season saw Blowers homer on opening day against Frank Tanana and the Tigers. But 9 days later, he received some startling news. He had been dealt to his hometown team.
Well, first of all, when they told me I was traded, I didn't really at the time care who I was traded to. I was just happy to be out of New York. And once I found out that it was Seattle, it made things a lot better. But shortly after they told me that, I was assigned to Calgary, and I wasn't thrilled with that, but sometimes you got to take a step back to make a step forward, and it's worked out for the best.
Blowers spent the rest of the 91 year in Calgary, and he would see only 31 games in Seattle in 92. But the Kingdom was still a familiar place. You see, Blowers and his family grew up as Mariner fans, and in 1986, he actually played against the Mariners in a Husky-Mariner exhibition game.
I just remember being real excited just to play in the Kingdom, for one. It was a big league ballpark, and I'd never been in one before other than watching. And we got to play the Mariners, and the only bad thing about that was they broke camp a little early, so we had to face Mike Moore for 7 or 8 innings, and that made it kind of tough on us. But it was a lot of fun. I ended up getting a hit, I think, off of Paul Mirabella in the 8th inning, and it was a big thrill for me and my family, and it's something that I'll always remember.
Though his Husky career spanned only 1 year, it was a memorable one. 1986, Blowers hit .383, 16 homers, 59 RBIs, and he won the Pac-10 Northern Division Triple Crown. Only one other player in league history had done that, John Olerud of Washington State. Now, current Husky coach Ken Knutson remembers Blowers, and he feels that the attitude he showed at Washington has helped him with the ups and the downs of professional baseball.
I think that's been the thing that's kept Mike in baseball, is that he's just sort of done what's been necessary to play. He's always had a good attitude, been a good team player, you know, good makeup to him. And, you know, when he's sent down, he's worked hard, and he's come back up and been a better player.
With a .280 average, three homers, and 21 RBIs, Blowers has been a pleasant surprise for the Mariners this year. Earlier in the year, the kid from Graham etched his name in baseball's history books with grand slams in consecutive games, forever linking Mike Blowers with immortals such as Babe Ruth.
At the time that I did it, I had no idea that it was any type of record or anything like that. And actually, I didn't find out until after the game when I talked to you doing the post-game show. But it was exciting for me at the time, but I was even more excited when I heard Dave. They replayed the thing for me, and I got real excited about it. And it was nice of you guys to make a tape for me so my family could enjoy that.
Here comes the stretch. The 1-2 on the way now. Fastball belted deep to left center field. Hulse to the track, to the wall, and would you believe it, Mike Blow